We're going to turn to John 16:33 and go through a few different things here today. One thing about the rest that Rick was talking about, I just want to highlight for a moment, is that when you're not operating in that rest, it's because you're doubting God, what it comes down to. A lot of times what causes us to doubt God is we're going through struggles. When things are going well, I mean, right, it's easy to trust God. It's when things don't seem to be going well that it's hard. So I thought I'd hit that with a little bullseye. If you want to find a scripture in the Bible that puts a bullseye on this concept here, is John 16:33. Now, mind you, this is Jesus just before he's going to be arrested, tried, and crucified. And he says in verse 33, "These things have I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Now it says, "In the world ye shall have tribulation." And that's why I wanted to turn to that for a moment. We hit tribulation on different ways, but the beauty of tribulation is whichever way we hit it, it actually has a good ending if we'll trust God through it. I mean, that's the amazing thing. And we can hit it from a few different perspectives. Let's turn to one that's very common among us for a moment. We'll turn to James chapter 1, and we'll see a type of tribulation that we run into because, well, Rick was kind of talking about it over there in 1 John 2. But let's see what James says. He says, I'll begin with verse 2. James says, "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Now, I hit on this word patience because you're going to see patience and tribulation kind of go together in some different ways. So this patience and the tribulation we experience from it is one that's very common to us. We screw up, right? We screw up, and we don't see any way out of our screw up. I mean, our screw up is so big, first of all, it's embarrassing as all get out, isn't it? When you really screw up, isn't it the kind of thing you just don't want to, you wish you could just hide and nobody would ever know about it and stuff. But somehow it has this thing of coming back and you got to confront your own screw up. And you know what? That's good. It's actually very good. Because when we have to confront our own screw-up, what happens is we have to go back to the Lord, and the Lord is then able to manifest that in his grace, it's bigger than your screw-up. I'll take Linda the other day, well, actually a month or so ago. Linda wrote this email. She was kind of angry and frustrated and struggling. Right, Linda? Hi, Linda. Forgive me for telling on you. But she'd written this email in which she was sure, out of her frustration and everything, she was very right, and she wrote to her brothers and told them what jerks they were, what utter contemptible jerks they were, whereas she, by contrast, was a bright, shining pillar of righteousness that they failed to recognize and appreciate fully. Go figure. So she found out that she was completely mistaken. Ugh! She had to write an apology. And I remember Phil talking to me about it when he read the email and it had already gone out. And I said to him, I said, "Well, Phil," I said, "let me ask you a question." I said, "If you were Linda's brother and you were the screwed up Phil we knew before, how likely do you think it is that you would have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ?" He said, "Not at all." I said, "Right. But you know what's amazing is just watch this. The Lord, if Linda can receive this and humble herself and apologize to her brothers, it'll testify more mightily and more powerfully than anything she's ever done." So here she made a big screw up. But if she could acknowledge it and recognize that it was entirely her screw up and apologize to someone else, wow. It would have, the Lord would move mightily in it, and his grace would be magnified. So what did Linda do? She did it. Go figure, folks. Go figure. Now, Linda's like the rest of us. Doesn't mean she had like an instantaneous embracing of this concept of that it was she who was wrong rather than her brothers, and that she had to apologize. But when she did, she was reconciled unto a brother she has not spoken to in years. He immediately replied to her. He called her on the phone to say, "Sis, I love you." Think of that. Out of a really big screw-up, the Lord redeemed it in a mighty, mighty, mighty way. So that's one way in which we run into tribulation. We screw up, and then we call on the Lord, and he turns out to be bigger than our screw-up. Now, the reason why I wanted to hit on this, let's turn to Romans 5 for a moment, and then we're going to turn to a different type of tribulation that comes. Because did Jesus do anything wrong? He's the one who didn't do anything wrong. Did he suffer, you know, maybe just a wee bit of tribulation? So we're going to learn about another kind of tribulation that we see that you can also experience when you're doing right. But before we get there, I want to turn to Romans 5. Probably should have hit this one before, but hey, maybe the Lord can cover my screw-up and we'll come back here and it'll be better than it would have been if I'd done it right. So he says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, one thing I just want to hit on here real quick. Rick, in the scripture he read, if you noticed it, it said this. It had this little thing, and it said that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. And then there's a little word. Do you remember what that word was? It was the righteous. See, when you say the righteous, what that means is there's none other. There is only one. Only one. See, in the works that Rick's talking about, entering into God's rest, is the works you're giving up are all the works you do to try to show yourself as being righteous. All of those things. So we already learned a moment ago about how it deals with it when the works we do are wrong over on this side, and we're doing things wrong. We repent. The Lord is gracious. And his grace is glorified. And the gospel is, our faith in the gospel is strengthened in our hearts. So let's see how this works. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." So when you're troubled, are you at peace? No. Why are you troubled? Because you doubt. You're looking at the circumstances, and you're struggling with the circumstances, and you're going through all of this stuff because of what? Doubt. "By whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." Okay? We have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. See, what happens is grace covers sin. So when it says we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, what that's about is when we apply our faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ, we come back to him as our advocate, as the righteous. He takes that sin, that thing that we know we messed up and we can't escape it and there's nothing we can do about it anymore, and he washes it away. He just takes it right out of the way. "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." So we see here, we glory in tribulations also, knowing. Now, this is an important word, knowing. See, that's different than doubting or wondering. See, when we're doubting and we're wondering, what invades? All kind of worry, all kinds of fear, all kinds of everything, right? When we know and we doubt not, there's no place found for those things, which rob us of the peace we have with God, rob us of all the things that God has given to us. So it says, knowing that tribulations worketh patience. See, and here's that patience we were talking about before. So you screw up, you get that kind of patience, right? You screw up, it's over your head, don't know how to fix it, can't seem to fix it. You go to God, he seems to fix it in some way you never even imagined. And you're like, hallelujah. Then you sing that hallelujah chorus with all your might, because it's just, what can you say? You can't help but glorify him. "Knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience." When you have this experience, what happens is you go do it again. You recall the experience. The things don't keep you down. You go back. And that experience and having come through it, as you've done before, gives you hope in the midst of that. I can tell you, I mean, you know, people, I don't know what people's thoughts of are of me and any particular thing. I know when ministering to different folks, and I frequently, as I'm ministering to people, have others involved in that as I'm seeking to teach them. And I'll say something to somebody and tell them to do this, and they're like, well, man, see, if I could just record that and rewind it and play it again for the person. And the thing is that they don't realize that every one of these things I go through almost every day. I go through it almost every day. I go through the struggle. You know, I go through the fear and the worry and all of that stuff. I go through it. I experience it. I touch it. I taste it. I don't like it. I sometimes seem to have a hard time getting shed of it. Do you guys ever have a hard time getting shed of it? I mean, I sometimes have a hard time getting shed of it. But as I'm having a hard time getting shed of it, I remember that He has brought me through it before. He has brought me through it before. He's brought me through it before, and I will not accept anything but His total victory. Amen. Every time. Amen. Every time. Because it's not about me. It's not about my strength. It's not about my ability. It's about what He can do. And that's what brings me through, is that I come back to entering into His rest, believing Him for what His word says, believing Him for the many experiences He's given me of bringing me through, and not accepting the testimony of all the doubt, all the unbelief, all the circumstances that seem to be around me and conspiring against me. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. When we do that, the Holy Spirit of God takes over. He's the one who does the works. Because we have chosen Him, because we have chosen to believe on Him, that Holy Spirit, that power of God that comes in, that can transform anything, comes into your heart and you win. And as you win, now you experience what he's talking about over there in verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. And I just underscore that word ungodly. See, because the thing about entering into his rest is you give up your righteousness. You recognize that you aren't righteous, but you know that he is. And because you know that he is, and you know his word is true, you can then stand in that, and you can go forward. Now, I'm going to share with you a different type of tribulation that comes up here for a moment. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we have Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in Achaia. We go over here, and he then says, I'll go ahead and keep reading. Grace be to you. I was in verse 1 there. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the thing about it is that grace that he's extending first is what now enables the peace to come in that follows. Because the Corinthians, as you read these letters, they were screwed up. They had problems. But when he said, grace be unto you, it covered every one of those problems. So that when he then said, peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, they were to then receive that by that grace and be able to stand in it and hear what he was going to say to them, but know that they have not been rejected. And he says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Mercies, as we know, is mercy is what you need when you have dead to rights, done wrong, and you know there's no excuse or justification for it whatsoever. You need the God of mercies. And see, the God of mercies is extending grace and peace unto a church that was doing a lot of things wrong here. and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us. This is Paul and Timotheus and the other apostles, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. Now, the tribulation these guys were experiencing, sometimes it was of their own doing, like Paul going up to Jerusalem that time, getting arrested, beaten, thrown into jail, spending 3 years in jail there, then taking a prison ship to Rome, and all the other things that we read at the last few chapters of the book of Acts. But most of the time, why they were experiencing it is they were partaking of the sufferings of Christ because of people's hatred of Christ. So it says, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in trouble, in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. See, when I was talking to you, Corey, last year and talking about going back east to deal with the things, the reason why I could talk about that and encourage you in that and say is because I'd seen the Lord and what he could do. Not because I knew what he was going to do, but because I knew that this was a thing, this was a step you had to take. You didn't know which way it was going to go, but I had a great confidence in the Lord and how it could go. And because I had experienced that, I could then comfort you as you were having to go through and confront those things. And the Lord has, you know, basically used me in many of these instances to go out ahead of you. We went and met with your folks, right? We went and talked to the, did all these different things. And every way he prepared the way, so when you then came, what happened? You were free. It was an amazing thing. See, and that's what he does, is he comforts me so that then I can comfort you so that you can then comfort someone else. And that's how it works. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. For whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which also we suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing, again the word knowing, that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. And I wanted to hit on this because, see, Paul and Timotheus and the others were pressed out of measure. I mean, this was beyond what any human being could endure. They could not, I mean, it was beyond them. And yet what happened is in that process, the Lord delivered them when they saw no means, manner, way, shape, form of any kind of deliverance. He delivered them. And that's why he's able to then minister to them, knowing, being steadfast, knowing that the Lord will see. Not wondering, knowing that the Lord will see. People, you guys often wonder, don't you? Am I going to make it through this? What's it going to be like on the other side? How am I ever going to get past this? Right? Isn't that how you guys feel a lot of times on different things? Especially, it seems, after you talk to me a lot of times. yeah, I'll say something and you're like, I don't know how that's ever going to work out. But the fact of the matter is it's worked out, hasn't it? And I share that with you because, see, if you look over there in Romans 5, it talks about in the end that hope maketh not ashamed. What is faith? The substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. What you have to come to realize as a Christian is that tribulation is the crucible out of which a mighty faith is forged. You have to stop. If you get the idea, and this is what some we have a real struggle with because our flesh hates tribulation, absolutely detests tribulation, thinks it's the worst thing in the universe. But tribulation is the manner in which you have to turn back to the Lord and put your faith there. And when you do, he shows up mightily. And what happens? Your faith in him grows. And it's by faith you're saved. And that by grace, right? Not of works, lest ye boast. So we cannot despise tribulation. We actually have to turn into it. And I'm not going to go into it, but you guys know the faith chapter, Hebrews 11, right? Talks about how by faith they subdued kingdoms, they wrought righteousness, they stopped the mouths of lions, you know, the flames didn't touch them. They were delivered out of Egypt, all the different examples of the way in which faith worked. The reason why faith worked, and this is what you have to embrace as a Christian, it's what being a Christian is, really, is you have to embrace the tribulation because you know that it's an opportunity for God to manifest that he is bigger than that situation. And how is anybody going to ever know that Jesus is real except he manifests in a manner that is clearly beyond anything that man can do? It's the only way. It's always the only way. And so you have to embrace, you have to be willing to run towards the tribulation. You have to determine that, you know what? Praise God for this tribulation. It's a wonderful opportunity. It's an opportunity for me to put my faith in him and watch him move. And when you do that, not only are you strengthened in the faith, but everybody who sees that move is strengthened in the faith. Don't despise the tribulation. Don't despise it. Paul gloried in it. He gloried in it. He gloried in it. He talks about it multiple times, about how he gloried in tribulations. And the reason is when he was in those tribulations is when God showed up most mightily. And so you cannot despise them, and you don't want to slink back from them. Slinking back from them is what unbelief does. It's what unbelief does. It's what doubt does. Faith turns right into it and goes right after it and gives no place to the devil. So that's today, tribulation. Don't worry about it, folks. Don't let your heart be troubled. As he said, believe in God, believe also in me. I'm not referring to Steve Atherton there. I'm referring to Jesus Christ, all right? Just so you guys know, all right? But that's what Jesus said. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And let the troubles go away. Amen? Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for your word. And we thank you, Lord, for that hope that you put in each of our hearts. And I just pray, Lord, that you will strengthen and fortify that hope in each of us, Lord, and that you'll help each of us as we are pressed to know that you are bigger than whatever press is upon us, that we may go forward in you and that you may be made mightily manifest, not only in our own lives for our own sakes, but for all those that we know, that they may know the hope we have in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.